الحمد لله ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, all praise be to Allah, glory be to Him. Blessed is His name and high is His majesty, and there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. To Him belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. In Him we believe with conviction. In Him we keep our blind trust. With Him lies our undivided loyalty. We beg His forgiveness and we seek His guidance, and we take refuge in Him from the evils of ourselves and from the evils of Shaitan. Peace and blessings be upon all the prophets, especially our final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Respected brothers in Islam, arriving here in this program, I realize the time is extremely short. Hence, inevitably, I'll have to cut my bayan short. I pray to Allah Almighty and ask you to do the same, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq and the ability in this very short time to convey a message which becomes a means of guidance for myself, for yourselves, and which can bring the entire ummah together and make us realize of our responsibility towards one another. Ameen, thumma ameen. Respected brothers, this dunya has now become extremely old, and this dunya is now in its deathbed, only breathing its last. The more this dunya is now becoming old and old and old, the more it's nagging, like human nature. Our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied, يَكُونُ بَيْنَ يَدِي السَّاعَ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Before the world will come to an end, when this dunya is going to become extremely old, this dunya is going to reveal many, many fitnas. This dunya is going to nag. How is it going to nag? By revealing many trials, many fitnas, and very weird and strange things that we will not have even heard or seen. On one occasion, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with an army of Sahaba, were traveling. At some point they decided to encamp. They all got very busy in their own little things until the Salat time arrived. One of the Sahabas gave out the Adhan and everybody got together for the Salat. Most probably after the Salat, the Sahabi says, فَخَطَبَنَا. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in our midst and he gave us a talk. Can you imagine, in the middle of nowhere, somewhere around the Arabian desert, in a desert land, the speaker is our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest speaker of all times. And the listeners were the greatest people of all times, the Sahaba. And one thing he mentions and he says, لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِيٌ إِلَّا أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ وَمَا هُوَ شَرٌ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. There has not been a single prophet who ever came to this world who did not warn his people with regards to anything good of this dunya and the akhirat, or any evil of this dunya and the akhirat. And I am no different. I will also be warning you of everything that you need to be warned against. Saying this, this was a little introduction, but the core message was, Inna ummati hadhihi ummatun ju'ilat afiyatuha fi awwaliha wa inna akhirahum yusibuhum bala wa umurun tunkirunaha. I would like you to be remain warned that Allah has kept all safety, security, all peace and glory, dignity and respect only in the former part of this ummah. And as this world is going to get older and older and older, there will be nothing in this world other than umurun tunkirunaha. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ جُعِلَتْ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا وَإِنَّ آخِرَهُمْ يُصِيبُهُمْ بَلَى. With regards to the latter part of this ummah, there will be nothing other than tribulation, there will be trials, there will be tests, there will be violence, there will be bloodsheds, there will be natural disasters and all sorts. In the light of this hadith today, now we understand why this ummah is witnessing so many trials and so many plights and suffering constantly all the time. These prophecies of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes it much easier for me to understand the current situation of this ummah, in fact for the past so many decades now. And if you think around, if you look around and if you think, let us go back up to about 3 or 4 decades from today. We'll find there's never been these 4 decades as severe, as intense, as disastrous in the entire history of Islam as today, as we witness in the last couple of decades. In 1970, first the Russians, out of satisfying their evil hunger of invading Afghanistan and ruling Afghanistan, they killed 1 million Muslim Afghanis. Just this one war, can you imagine 1 million? To say 1 million only takes a second to say it. Yet 1 million means the entire population of the biggest city of this country, London. Can you imagine the entire hustling, bustling city of London suddenly one day just becomes all dead? And can you imagine the number of lash and the number of nash and the dead bodies in the city? That's how many number of people were butchered just in this one war out of satisfying their evil egos of invading the country. The Muslims of Chechnya, under the human rights, quite rightfully they voice their concerns of independency and they voice their concern of liberation and of freedom, quite rightfully. Yet up to 50,000 such freedom fighters were crushed in Chechnya. Again under the same Russian army. Then the world could not witness Iraq becoming the superpower in the Gulf region. Therefore under the name of the Gulf War, 35,000 Muslims were killed in the Gulf War in Iraq and Kuwait. Then again, in the name of war on terror, 50,000 Afghani Muslims were terrorized. Something that they went in the name of defeating terrorism. They terrorized 50,000 Muslims in Afghanistan. Then again, they found that Saddam Hussein is becoming a bit too cocky and he started to look into our eyes, and therefore let us label the country of possessing weapons of mass destruction, and therefore in the name of this war 1.2 million Iraqi Muslims were killed. We've always heard the word and the term cleansing and cleaning. Cleansing and cleaning sounds ever so nice. This is one term that everybody loves to have them in their own lives, and they want to see this term being interpreted everywhere else. Yet there is only one place where this term is absolutely appalling. What? Ethnic cleansing. In the name of ethnic cleansing, in Kosovo, thousands were butchered and massacred in the name of ethnic cleansing. This is just the bloodshed that I'm talking about against the Muslim. But then again, sometimes it makes us feel what? The earth is our enemy and the people are also our enemy in this world. What about the heavens and the skies? Have they also turned against us? And sometimes it makes us feel as though even the heavens and even the skies have turned against us. The hustling, bustling, pristine beaches of paradise, the South Asia, was hit by a giant tsunami, instantly killing 200,000 people in one go. Soon after that, Haiti was hit very hard, again with the tsunami, killing 250,000 people. Somewhere around that time, Pakistan was struck with a severe earthquake, turning 75,000 pounds into debris. Just this little war in this very small region of the world, between Israel and between Palestine, at least 35,000 people have been killed till today. In the very recent Middle East crisis, just in Syria, I'm not talking about a couple of years ago about Egypt, I'm not talking about Libya, I'm not talking about the rest of the countries, just in this one country. A while ago, the statistics said 210,000 people have been arrested just in this country, just for voicing their concern with regards to the corruption taking place in their country. Of course, everybody has got their rights to voice their concern about a particular issue, especially if it's as sensitive as corruption, which has no place anywhere in the world. Why should in our countries and in the Middle East countries should go for decades and decades without being stopped? So of course they had the right to voice their concerns, because they were the people who were suffering the corruption and the direct implications of the corruption. Yet 210,000 people were arrested. And when we talk about arresting, we're not talking about British and the Western arresting, where you are just home arrested or you are imprisoned in the five-star prisons. Here we're talking about being arrested in very well-tailored torture camps, where everything of yours is tortured, psychologically, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, socially, in every way you are tortured. 210,000 people arrested. Why? Just because they took to the streets in order to have a peaceful demonstration to say, we want no corruption anymore. Let's make corruption a history. Said 65,000 people just in this very small country of Syria have gone missing. Now when we say have gone missing, why should they go missing? This is their own country, they've got their own families, they know where their roots are, they know their whereabouts. If they've gone missing and they just lost in the country, they can easily make their way back to their homes. But missing means there is no trace for them anymore. They don't live anymore, they have been killed. So even these 65,000 people have been killed. The official death toll is up to 13,000 people, men, women, children, have been killed just in this whole country. Allahu Akbar, and just a while ago, a couple of years ago, similar situation in Egypt. A while ago, also in Libya under Gaddafi. Similar situation in Yemen. Similar situation in Jordan and around the rest of the areas. And look how this, the situation in all the Middle East countries is spreading like wildfire. And look how the corruption has been continuing for the past so many years now. This reminds me of a prophecy of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says in a hadith that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he asked our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ الْخَيْرِ مِنَ الشَّرِ O Prophet of Allah, after this prosperity and the glory that we are enjoying today of Islam, is there going to be any future trials, any evil times that shall dawn upon this ummah? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response was, Naam. Yes, after these glorious days, there will be evil times dawning upon the ummah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself elaborated in what form they will appear. He said, Du'atun ala abwaabi jahannam. These will be leaders of the Muslim ummah. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu asked, O Prophet of Allah, can you describe to us as to what sort of leaders are you talking about? Of what nation? Of what language? Of what creed? Of what color will they be? Sifhum lana ya Rasulullah. Can you describe to us as to what sort of people you are talking about, the corrupt leaders, under whom this ummah shall see a lot of evil times? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, and you'll be shocked. Hum yatakallamuna bi alsinatina wa hum min jildatina. They will have the same colors as mine and yours, O Hudhayfa. And they will be talking the same language as mine and yours. In other words, they will be Arab leaders. He alayhi salam, during the glorious days of Islam, is talking about the corrupt Arab leaders that will come 1400 years later, and in whose hands the entire ummah shall witness and shall suffer the very evil times. Amazing, isn't it, when we look at the Middle East crisis and we see the entire situation, and we see the situation so barbaric. I don't know whether you do follow these clips that are shown on YouTube about the sort of torture that Bashar is inflicting upon his own Muslim people. If somebody was to say Allahu Akbar, he is asked and forced by his soldier to say Bashar Akbar, Bashar is the greatest. And if he refutes and he rejects to say that, then his throat is slit and cut, and he's slaughtered like a goat and a sheep. There have been instances where adult people alive have been buried alive in the ground. Yes, we have heard the very few stories about Khabbab, Umair, Suhaib, and Yasir al-Bilal. Yet, not to this extent. They were, yes, beaten black and blue during the hot day, yet not to this extent that an adults who are buried alive because of saying La ilaha illallah. Today we find much worse scenario and situation. The very local demonstrators who took to the street in order to demonstrate and voice their concern with regards to corruption and so forth, they were injured by his army, and once they are injured, they are hospitalized, not in a hospital in order for them to be treated and given them the right treatment. He's got his own military hospitals that do not take care of the soldiers. In fact, here is more, not a hospital, it's a further torture camp, where the injured patients in the hospital are not cured. They are deprived of the most essential needs of a human being, the water, food supply, medications. These patients have also been tied, their feet and their legs and their hands have been tied with the bed as well. And the nurses and the doctors by turn, they take turn in order to afflict more and more pain on the patients. Have we ever heard of this before? So barbaric, so inhumane. We've heard of many stories. We've heard about the chemical weapons. And we hear so many things. We've heard in the war of Afghanistan and Iraq and the rest of it. But we haven't heard anything as inhumane as such. And it makes us think whether these people, do they really carry a human heart in their chest or not? Because no human being can ever forget about inflicting such practical suffering on somebody. One cannot even imagine with his head and in his mind. Yet, where do these people get that courage to afflict such pain on a human being? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had predicted about this as well. He said, يَكُونُ بَعْدِهَا إِمَّا لَا يَهْتَدُونَ هُدَايَا وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي. A time will come when there will be such corrupt leaders who will not be following the path of mine, who will not be following the path of Hidayat, and will not be following the political agenda as I had, will not follow the Quran and the Sunnah. وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالِ. Amongst these corrupt leaders will be such people in whose وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالِ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينِ فِي جُثْمَانِ إِنْسِ. There will be such people who will look like human beings, who will have the limbs and the parts of the body like any other human being. But if you will look into their hearts will only be like the hearts of Shaitan. Then it makes us easy for us to understand that these people are not perfect human beings. They have the body of human beings, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that they will be bodies of human beings, but the contents and the heart will be the heart of Shaitan. No wonder they can afflict such plight and suffering on human beings. Brothers, we can continue. We can continue and continue talking about the plight and the suffering of the Muslim Ummah. But believe me, brothers, this is not going to come to an end until the day of Qiyamah. This shall continue. Under certain agenda that Allah has, under certain wisdom that Allah holds, under certain knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and in certain ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to make a special favor upon this Ummah, this is what Allah has decreed for the Ummah, such sufferings until the day of Qiyamah. So you will hear, as this world will get older and older and older, just before the advent of Qiyamah, you will hear more and more stories of earthquakes, landslides, wildfires, tornadoes, cyclones, floods, famine, drought, and the rest of it, tsunamis. You will continue to hear more and more of the violence and the bloodsheds. You will continue to hear. What we need to know, brothers, let us not go into what are the wisdoms behind it. Why is it so? Our duty is to find out, under such circumstances, what are our responsibilities. And this is what I would like to discuss with you today in the next couple of minutes. What are our responsibility as members of Muslim Ummah? First of all, it's important that we show care. Let us find somewhere in our hearts and in our minds to say and to express that we do care for the black Muslims wherever they live, for the white Muslims wherever they are, for Muslims of any color, any creed, and not just Muslims, but also for any human being living anywhere in any part of the world who is in any suffering. Our concern, our care should be for that human heart. To show the care. This is one of the biggest responsibilities that we need to show care for the entire Muslim Ummah. The Nabi hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يُهِمُّهُ أُمُورُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He who has no concern for the Muslim Ummah, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He is not amongst us. It's simple as that. In other words, the hadith says you've only got two choices here. Either you show love and care and concern for the entire Muslim Ummah around the world. In that case, there is justification for you to count yourself amongst the Muslim Ummah. And if you cannot afford to show care and love and connection with the Muslim Ummah, you have no right to consider yourself as a member of the Muslim Ummah. I doubt it if any Muslim in the world who is not interested to consider himself as part of this Muslim Ummah. If we have that burning desire in our hearts and our minds and in our chest, that we want to be included in the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my name be written in the book of the list of the Muslim Ummah, then it's inevitable. We have no choice in that case, that in our heart, in our bosom and chest, there should lie a heart that is warm. Warm for every member of this Muslim Ummah. Unfortunately, the biggest thing today, we don't care. And why do we not care these days? Lives have become very fast. With the help of the technology, with the help of the remote control system, fast food, fast lives, luxurious life have made us all into vegetables. And even though we're walking, we're talking, we're eating, we're drinking, the fact is our hearts have gone ever so cold. Our hearts have gone ever so cold. And because of these luxurious lives and fast lives and comfortable lives, they have become a bit too comfortable. Therefore, the painful stories and the disturbing images that we see on the screen, it doesn't have any effects on our hearts and minds. We'll sit in front of the screen and we will watch the worst of famine in the world in maybe Somalia. Or we will witness the violence and the unrest and the mass of bloodshed in one part of the country. And we'll see how even the women and Muslims are being butchered. Yet, our food, our restaurant food, our takeaway food will continue to be relish. No difference. We'll watch and we'll eat. We'll watch and we'll go to bedroom and we'll enjoy our sleep. And life continues for us. There is no concern. We watch and we watch and we watch and we keep looking on without giving second thoughts, without even thinking about it after watching the program. Such is our condition at present. In this case, brothers, there is no justification in including ourselves in the Muslim Ummah. We have to have that pain in our hearts, the thoughts in our minds. مَنْ لَمْ يُهِمُّهُ أُمُورُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Let us feel that pain for the people around the Muslim Ummah. This is why our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith. He said, look at the good one or two examples which you hear all the time. All the speakers come and they present this hadith to you. That our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-Muslimuna kal-bunyani al-wahid yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. Aw kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muslim Ummah is standing like one building. But each member of this Muslim Ummah is like a brick. When all the bricks come together, and the cement and the mortar, bringing it together, sticking it together, then it's only a lofty building and a lofty castle against the enemy. Otherwise, if that mortar and cement is not bringing the individual bricks together, then each brick is only a broken brick that can do nothing. If you see a brick in your garden somewhere outside, then it's only a brick. You want to tip it, you want to bin it, you want to do whatever. You want to kick it around. It's of no use, you say. Only when the small bricks come together with the cement plastered in between, then only it stands like a what? A big, strong building. In the same way, I'm a brick, you're a brick. Every member of this Muslim Ummah is a brick. When all these bricks come together with the mortar and the cement of Iman keeping us, sticking us together, then we stand as a single Muslim Ummah against the enemy of Islam and the Muslims, and against the suffering and the plight of humanity. This is why he gave this example of a building and the bricks. Again, a very deep example he gives. He says, Al-Muslimuna kal jasad al-wahid. The entire Muslim Ummah is like a single body. What does that mean? Each limb of the body represents each member of the Muslim Ummah. You are part of the Muslim body. Every member is part of this Muslim body. Now if you find an amputated leg, amputated hand, a cut off nose, what use it is it to you? In fact, it looks very strange. It looks very strange and weird. You don't want to keep it with you for too long. You want to get rid of it. You want to dump it. That hand is of no use at all. It cannot function. It cannot handle. It has no movement. As soon as that hand is joined with the entire body, with the body together, you see the movement. You see the blood circulation. You see as a perfect hand. In the same way, each member, selfish member of this Muslim Ummah on individual basis is a dead member. That is of no use to the Muslim Ummah. Only you attach yourself with the entire Muslim Ummah, then you are functioning. Then the spiritual circulation in your own self is circulating. Look at the example, how deep our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the example of the Muslim Ummah. Look at the fine threads. A thread is a thread. It has no weight, it has no strength. But the hundreds and the thousands of the strings together and the thread together make a strong rope that can carry out so many tasks. Otherwise, what can a single thread do? In the same way, every individual, if we individualize ourselves, this is our selfishness. And this is the disease that has overtaken the Muslim Ummah all around the world. Everybody, me and you, the only people we talk about and we think of, me, my wife and my children, my car, my house and my children's education. These days nobody is thinking anything beyond Allahu Akbar, and this is extremely selfishness. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever has been saved from the disease of selfishness, whoever has been immunized against the disease of selfishness, then he is the one to succeed. If you want to succeed in this world and prosper in this world and in the hereafter, then you will have to treat this disease of selfishness. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. People living in prosperous and in developed countries like ourselves, what has happened to us? The disease of selfishness has overtaken us. We don't care about people. It's important. The whole program of the Ummah Welfare Trust is just not to make collection. It's to bring the whole Muslim Ummah together. Let us have respect for one another. Let us have concern for one another. Let us have love for one another. Let us find out what our duties are that mutually we should be sharing. So another thing is to come together as one Muslim Ummah. Look at the words that Quran says. How should this Muslim Ummah behave in every circumstance? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, isbiru, wasabiru, warabitu, wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. O believers, bear patience, wasabiru, and encourage one another to be patient. You look at the ants, how they communicate with one another. Why? Of anything good or bad, they are being warned. In the same way, there should be a universal network amongst yourself as well. Warabitu, remain in connection. Remain in connection. Although Rabitu has very much more broader meaning in tafsir, but this is the most broadest way we can say. Keep connection financially, mentally, physically, socially, spiritually, in every manner, psychologically, you need to keep that connection. This is what it means, Muradi. A hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that takunut fitnatun fi waladihi wa malihi wa jarihi. Aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There will be fitna in relation to children, in relation to wives, in relation to your own family members. Sometimes your own wife will put you in a situation. Sometimes the husband puts the wife in a situation. Sometimes your children will put you in a situation. Sometimes your own relatives will put you in a situation. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Tukaffiruha as-salah was-siyam was-sadaqah wal-amru bil-ma'ruf wal-nahyu 'anil munkar." In such times of fitna, when you cannot even be relieved from your own family members during such circumstances, behold and withhold and cling to salat, fasting, charity, amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. This brings the people together. This brings the ummah together. The salat, the fast of Ramadan brings the ummah together. The salat brings the local people, and then for Jummah salat, for the people of the entire locality and so on. And this is what, brothers, is required today. That we need to realize what's happening around the world and play our role. Our role today, and the message we want to convey to the people here, is we need to show that love, the concern, and we need to find out what our financial responsibilities are, our spiritual responsibilities in the name of du'as are towards the suffering, wherever the Muslims are suffering in any part of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the tawfiq to play the correct role towards the suffering and the plight of the ummah. Ameen wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.